Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It is Monday morning. If you're watching this live, great. If you're watching live, hit that like button. Appreciate it very much. If you are watching after the fact, hit the like button, subscribe to the channel. And if you're listening to this on the podcast feed, thank you. How about an Apple podcast review? 5 stars. Leave a question in your review. That'll get into the mailbag. We'll be getting back to the mailbag soon. All right, a few pieces of news to get to from the weekend, NFL Combine weekend, and some of them are conflicting as it relates to Brandon Ayuk, or are they? Ian Rappaport on Sunday said the Niners still firmly believe that Brandon Ayuk is in their plans. Quote, I expect them to work on a deal for him probably after free agency. So that's what Rap Sheet said on Sunday on NFL Network. ESPN.com. Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler wrote a big piece on, you know, news and notes from the weekend. And this is what Dan Graziano wrote. The Niners would like to get Ayuk's contract extended, but he's also a trade candidate if they can't get something done. He wrote, Amon Ross St. Brown's been working on an extension that some think could land in the $26 to $28 million per year range. And the Dolphins and Eagles have decisions on Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, both of whom are extension eligible for the first time and already have big money receiver teammates, Tyreek Hill and A.J. Brown. I mean, Devontae Smith is not going anywhere. And I would think that Jalen Waddle's not going anywhere too. But anyway, those were, I guess you could call them conflicting reports. Although I think there's some similarities here. Let's go back. Rap Sheet says after free agency, the Niners will be willing to talk extension. And Graziano writes, the Niners would like to get something done, but he's also a trade candidate if they can't get something done. So both of those things to me feel like the reporter's saying the 49ers have other higher priorities than Brandon Ayuk. And it's not because, you know, figuring out whether they're going to sign Graham Glasgow is a higher priority than Brandon Ayuk. It's because he doesn't have to be a higher priority than free agency because he's got a $14 million contract for this season. And so when Rap Sheet says they'll work on a deal for him after free agency, he's saying, let's see how free agency goes. The Niners are not going to necessarily let what he has or doesn't have. And right now what he's got is $14 million dictate what they're going to do in free agency. And what Graziano is saying is they'd like to get it done, but he's also a trade candidate if they can't get something done. In other words, we're going to deal with free agency first and foremost. Then we're going to find out how much you want. Then we'll decide whether or not we're going to trade you. But I think what the in both of these things, to me, what I take away is not necessarily that these two guys' reports are opposed of one another. To me, they both have the same tone, which is the Niners know that they are not in an urgent situation with him, even if it feels, you know, I think a lot of times in these situations, it probably feels more urgent to the player, to the agent. Maybe it feels more urgent to us. This is part of why, as we go back, or if you've missed it, my prediction on this has been that he plays on the 14-year, fifth-year option, and that an extension comes for him next year. My logic on that has been that the main counterpoint to that is why wait to sign him to an extension when you're also going to be potentially paying your quarterback and it gets really expensive. But my logic is that if you can stomach the $14 million this year and still build a team around him or, you know, with free agents this year, then you can further delay the years in which his contract will get big. You sign him this year, you take less on the cap this year. But now 3 years from now, maybe in the second year of Brock Purdy's deal, right, now his number's jumping up. Or next year, maybe his number is jumping up in the first year of a Purdy deal. So I just think if you're able to wait, you can stagger even more with some of these other contracts you have and are going to have. and get you into parts of other people's contracts where you can get out of them. Even Debo's next year after June 1st is only, whether you trade him or cut him, it's only a $6 million hit. So I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. But I just see the logic for them in waiting and kind of further staggering the big money. And then the other thing, if you watch the receivers this weekend in the combine or just kind of, you know, read up about it or followed it a little bit, the second and third rounds are going to be a wide receiver bonanza. Nine wide receivers ran faster than a 4.440. 23 receivers ran 4.5 or under, including Roma Dunze at 6'3", 212 pounds, who, you know, did not hurt his stock in any sense. I was watching Good Morning Football today. Peter Schrager said that he could be the number one receiver off the board, that there are still some, there are people around the league that think that, they would not be surprised if Roma Dunze went number one. You know, he did the three cone drill over and over and over again. The fans were gone. The other players were gone. Most of the team personnel were gone, but he was going to stand there and stick it out. And I got to tell you, my default position on that type of action is to be a skeptic. Like normally, you know, what I've said for a long time is that it should be easy to fake it. Like, let's say you're a quarterback and you're doing a lot of interviews. People are like, oh, this guy's impressive. Like, yeah, there is so much out there that you could mimic. I think coaches are like this too. A lot of younger, you know, just they're mimicking other coaches. They're just mimicking. Like, oh, this guy's smooth with the media. Yeah, he's mimicking somebody else he saw. So you're always trying to dig through and figure out, is this authentically this person? Is this a performance, right? And you definitely have to view anything that you do, that anybody does at the combine through that lens. Like, is this an act? I will say, I don't know if it's healthy or not. That's just my default, is to go, yeah, this is an act. With Rome, I think it's legit. I'm gonna a little bit let go of my skepticism. I think he really wanted to nail that three cone. He spent all this time preparing. He spent all this time trying to nail it. Here's the biggest moment. I'm standing right here. This is what I've been getting. All these guys, this is what they've been spending all of their time getting ready for this combine. So I'm choosing not to be a skeptic on Roma Dunze doing the three cone over and over and over again. Because this guy, he's a top 10 pick. And everything I've heard about him, I think he might be the best receiver in this group when it's all said and done. Anyway, but there are some mock drafts back to Ayuk and the Niners. There are some mock drafts that have as many as seven receivers going in the first round. Was not a great week. You know, if you look at some of those, not all, but some had Keon Coleman in the middle of the first round, had Troy Franklin maybe at the end of the first round. Both those guys hurt themselves a little bit this weekend. Franklin did not run well. Keon Coleman did not test great. So the second and third rounds are going to be stuffed with receivers. And the 49ers have a second round pick at 63 and two picks at the end of the third round, 94, and then their compensatory pick at 99. So if Brandon Ayuk is still on the team on the Friday of the draft, there's going to be plenty of what about this guy? What about that guy? Hell, there might be a guy that falls to the Niners. Let's just say there's a receiver there at 63, very high on their board. Maybe they've taken an offensive lineman early. Maybe at 94 in the third round, there's a receiver that people like. Although I think a lot of these guys are going to go before 94. They might have the best player on their board is just a receiver, and they might take it. And if that happens, there's going to be a lot of, what do you do? You got Jennings, you got Ayuk, you got Debo. What's happening here? Is this a signal that Ayuk's about to go? And I don't know. We don't know the answer to that. But I think my point is just this thing is going to be stuffed. I saw a lot of guys tested so well, but a lot of them were in kind of a little clump together. That's an indication that when receivers, I think you're going to have your first three guys go, right? It's in some order, Neighbors, Roma Dunze, Marvin Harrison Jr. But then when the other guys start going, it could really be a waterfall of receivers. So I don't know, you know, if the Niners draft high enough to be a part of that in the second round, but if they do, then it will only further amplify any questions about, you know, what comes next for Brandon Ayuk. Then there was also this piece of news This was from the ESPN.com article. This was Graziano and Jeremy Fowler both wrote a bunch of stuff. And this was about Zach Wilson. The Rams and 49ers are among the intriguing options for quarterback Zach Wilson, who has permission to seek a trade from the Jets. Wilson's looking for a skilled offensive head coach and a place to revive his career. Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan both need backup quarterback help at the moment. And so the question is, would the Niners acquire him? And I think any time that the Niners have done work on a quarterback, you have to put that quarterback on the list of guys they would acquire, right? This is like Darnold 2.0. And I talked about this in the first Monday Live video that I did and said the incorrect number. And so that's why I'm doing this video, to correct that. It's not $11 million for an acquiring team on Zach Wilson. It's $5.45 million. That would be the cap number if you were to acquire him this year, whether it's the Rams, the Niners, somebody else. Now, you have to give something up. So you'd be taking him off their hands. They'd save $5 million. You're going to give him a seventh-round pick? If you're the Niners, you do really well with these seventh-round picks. You don't want to trade for him because you don't want to pay him $5 million and you don't want to give up a pick for him. If he had free agency and he really has this strong of a desire to be partnered with a high-level coach, right? Like, I'm going to go study for a year with McVay, with Shanahan, get the redshirt year that I was promised last year. But last year was weird because it kind of felt like he didn't want to play. He just wanted to sit behind Aaron Rodgers, take a breath. And I don't, you know, once he started playing, a different story, but I don't really knock him or his people if they were like, you know, the best thing for him is just to chill out, sit behind Rodgers for a year and just reset. Like, we got into a bad situation, probably wasn't ready for this, and now we need a little bit of help. So if he wants that, that means that he's not going to prioritize, worry to become a free agent, the biggest salary. And I don't think there'd be a lot of money anyway. He was going to prioritize, let me just go chill. I think the Rams would make a ton of sense for him. Go be with Darnold, go be with McVay. And from that standpoint, the Niners make a lot of sense too. The Niners will have done the work on him. Both franchises have close relationships with Mike LaFleur, who, remember, was his quarterback coach in year one. So they could get immediate intel. What was this guy like in the meeting room? How bad was the situation? Did you hate him? Did you hate him? Like, hate? Did you just not like the guy? And do you think he could eventually develop into an NFL starter, legitimate backup? Can he be revived and rehabilitated? It's not really even about projecting, could he be a starting quarterback? It's just, could he be revived and rehabilitated? And could he be good enough? Because if you're doing this, if you're the Niners or the Rams, yeah, I guess having Stafford's one-day replacement or having some insurance on this really talented player that you maybe you would have drafted him if the Jets had taken Trey Lance. Maybe the Niners take Zach Wilson. Or if the Niners are drafting second, do they take Zach Wilson or Trey Lance? So it's really for those two teams about, if my quarterback misses a game, can I win a game with this guy this year? That's how I'd be approaching backup quarterback for the 49ers. Not, could he be something in 2 years? This little project. Could he be something in 3 years? Could I get him and then flip him into something? Could he maybe become my starter? What you have to be thinking is, could he win a game for us if our guy goes down? We talked about this the other day with Tyrod. You know, like, Tyrod probably be too expensive for the Niners, but his history as a backup quarterback is that he can win you a couple games. So it makes Zach intriguing in a sense because he's still so young. He's so talented. Do you worry about, there's a couple things here, right? Do you trade for him, you give him a pick, and you pay him the money, so he's making five times what Brock Purdy's making? Or nobody trades for him. Nobody wants to pay him $5.5 million. Nobody wants to give up the last pick of the draft or anything. And then the Jets cut him and he becomes a free agent. You get him for whatever you want. Are there enough guys out there that kind of liked him? The reason to trade for him and pay $5.5 million is because you think somebody else would sign him and you really want him. And, you know, to me, it's kind of Darnold 2.0-ish. I think he's a team away from being on the 49ers. You know, Darnold was a team away. The Niners didn't get him when he went to the Panthers, although there was some talk then. The Niners got him as team number three. And what did he do? He got himself a raise. He's going to go make more money. Darnold's cap number this year was $6.3 million. So if the Niners were to get Zach Wilson for $5.45 million, they'd actually be saving money on their quarterback room, which, you know, you could argue Brock for a seventh, Zach Wilson for free, but he's not free. He's $5.5 million. Is that chess, not checkers? There are some risks here. I don't think it's risk-free. And I would not be in a rush to bring it. I would not trade for Zach Wilson and pay him $5.5 million if I were the 49ers. I would consider him as an undraft, as a cut player for a very, very, very low salary. The pitch would be, hey, man, coaches leave here and become head coaches all the time. So you come here, you buckle down, you take very little money, and you work as a backup, nose to the grindstone. Maybe Brian Griese becomes a head coach in a year. That's the pitch. But I don't have any interest in paying Zach Wilson $5.5 million or giving up a pick for him. And I know Kyle would be intrigued. You know, I've talked about this with, do you draft a guy in the sixth round at quarterback and suddenly he's making almost as much as Brock? It's a little bit of a weird dynamic. I think this Niners locker room handles weird dynamics just fine. Not overly concerned about it, but it is odd, even in a good locker room, to bring in a guy with not only zero equity with his team, but really zero equity around the league, and pay him five times what Brock Purdy's making, and have to deal with the possibility that he becomes a topic. Like, Sam Darnold's only a topic because he's got a good arm. Sam Darnold's not a topic because he says anything or because he brings a circus with him. There's a lot of risk there with Zach Wilson, and I wouldn't be interested in it. You know, I think the prospect with Kyle is intriguing, but I wouldn't be interested in putting his money in there. I wouldn't be interested in putting the story in the locker room. And again, we're talking about a good locker room. To me, Rams are different. Matthew Stafford's older. Matthew Stafford makes a ton of money. Not that there'd be any debate about, I don't know, is Zach Wilson threatening Brock's job? No, of course not. But it's just a little bit of a different dynamic when he's making 5X what your starter's making versus in with the Rams, he can't be there's no story. It's Stafford makes way too much money. His position on that team, just based on his contract, is too well established. So, you know, I don't think it's the most insane thing. Like, if you support this possibility, that's fine. I don't think that's a bad take. I just wouldn't do it. Now, with Shanahan, like, I think Kyle probably looks at guys and goes, I like them. I could do something with this. That's all I need to know. Some other free agency notes from the Graziano and Jeremy Fowler piece. The Niners have some interest in bringing back Chase Young, who was a bit of a disappointment after their deadline deal, but he's still just 24. I mean, he'll be 25 the day before your taxes are due, April 14th. So he's 25 years old, but he's got a good relationship with Nick Bosa. He might end up having to take a one-year prove-it deal, be it from the Niners or someone else. There's still enough teams intrigued by his potential. You know, fine. A one-year prove-it deal, meaning cheap, great. But he had a prove-it year with the Niners, or a half year, or a couple of months with the Niners. And until the Super Bowl, it didn't feel like he proved it. And then in the Super Bowl, he was fantastic. Now, maybe he got worn down, and maybe the 2 weeks off were great. Maybe the motivation of having everybody talk shit about him after that clip of him was like the centerpiece of a whole conversation about whether or not he plays hard. You know, as we went on with that thing, the clip was damning. But then I thought as we went on and on and on, it became, and I said this at the time, like a little bit of a pylon, a little much. Like, yeah, that was bad. But you tell me we can't find clips of big guys jogging ever? I get it. Big game, big moment. But, you know, let's not act like Chase Young is just some outlier of a guy who takes a playoff here or there. You want to hunt film and find a guy taking up. I'm not Chase Young apologizing here, but I'm just saying I thought it went way too far the other way. That if you told me he's back on a team-friendly deal, here's where good coaches matter. What does Chris Kocurek say? Does Chris Kocurek say, yeah, there is more juice in that orange that I can squeeze out? Give me a training camp. Give me a whole year, and we're going to make something here or not. I mean, remember, we're talking about a former blue chip, as blue chip a prospect as it gets, who was available for, you know, I mean, not nothing, but not a lot. And understandably, at the time near the deadline when you're available, you know, half the league is not going to be interested because they're not a playoff team. And it made a lot of sense for the Niners, given the Nick Bosa connection and given the need. But, you know, I would be open to this. I don't have the film of him jogging, replaying in my mind and overloading it. But, I mean, understand, you would just view it the way you view most of some of the Chris Kocurek little projects. And I think you could argue that given that he came into the team mid-year, maybe a preseason with the 49ers and a full season with the 49ers, you'd get a little bit more production from him. I don't think that's an unreasonable thing.
Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code HAM. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app, because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game, and I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone. Go to your iPad. Download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They also wrote Graham Glasgow, guard needy teams that don't want to spend top dollar will still allot quality money to the next tier. Glasgow started 15 games for Detroit, held his own. He can play three offensive line positions. Okay. I mean, you know, he graded out eighth amongst guards PFF. I've seen him connected to the Niners a few times, but his, you know, where they really need, obviously you have to run the football with them, but pass blocking on the interior is critical. He ranked 52nd in PFF among pass blocking guards. John Feliciano graded out better than he did against the pass. But the problem with Feliciano, he played half as many snaps. Feliciano actually graded out as a higher ranked guard overall. He was fifth among the available guards last year. But again, half as many snaps. But he's a guy I'd like to see him bring back. Glasgow shouldn't be that expensive. And then the other thing they wrote was Blake Cashman, Azeez Alshire. The Cashman part's not relevant here, but Azeez Alshire, two do-it-all linebackers for Houston and Tennessee, respectively, have caught teams' attention. So if you think that the 49ers are going to get, you know, Azeez Alshire on some little discount, like they're the only ones that know about Azeez Alshire, they're not the only ones that know about Azeez Alshire. But PFF projected him an $11.5 million guaranteed contract, 3 years, $6.75 million. He'll turn 27 years old this year, so you know they had to choose between him and Dre Greenlaw because they're both kind of on similar tracks here. You know, I know there's been some talk in the last week or so because Dre Greenlaw's doctor said everything went well and you know, recovery time looks pretty good, about how soon Dre Greenlaw could be back. I think if you're treating this year like just like you treated last year, which is a year to go win the Super Bowl, you need some high level Dre Greenlaw insurance. I don't think you can bank on Greenlaw being an incredibly fast healer. You know, they didn't bank on, remember the Niners, and maybe this was more complicated than this, but the Niners didn't bank on Brock Purdy being a fast healer last year. When free agency rolled around, what'd they do? They signed Sam Darnold. And it was not an indictment of Brock. It was not to be their starter. It was partly just, I think, circumstances were good because Kyle Shanahan liked the guy, might have drafted the guy if they hadn't traded for Jimmy Garoppolo once upon a time, might have just drafted him. So there was a lot of reason there for Sam Darnold to be drafted. But just understand what the Niners did last year with a key player coming off of an injury. And remember, Brock had a very optimistic return to play timeline. As it turned out, he nailed it. He hit the targets. Everything was fine. Hindsight 2020, it was all good. There was nothing to worry about. But you don't know that at the time. And they were able, and I wonder if the Niners would say this, part of the reason everything went so smoothly with Purdy, they were able to not rush because they had Darnold there. Oh, and Trey Lance. But because they had Darnold there. That was light sarcasm from me. But because they had Darnold there, they were not in a position to have to really push Brock. They could be patient. And as he hit every checkpoint, they could continue to be patient. You would like to be able to do that with Greenlaw, right? If you can afford it, to say, we've got Azeez Alshire. We don't have to be, this is a guy who didn't just pop an Achilles. He popped an Achilles after dealing with Achilles tendonitis. You want, because of his age, you're not just thinking like one more year of Dre Greenlaw. You're thinking, get him back. Eventually he's 100%. Maybe it's not this year, but in 2 years, it's definitely the case. And he's a key part of your team. So, you know, I think part of what signing another linebacker does is it lets you not push the issue with Greenlaw and risk that he comes back too soon or risk further injury. And, you know, and then if you're able to afford it all and you look back and he checks all those boxes. I mean, look around this year. He gets hurt even when he's healthy. You need another linebacker. Are the guys you drafted, D Winners and Jalen Graham, about to step up and take that mantle? doesn't feel like they're next up. I mean, they're worth investing in, but doesn't feel like they're next up, ready to, you know, Oren Burks, but those two young guys ready to, you know, really fill the gap if Dre Greenlaw's got to miss extended time. So anyway, just interesting to see. Now, the projection on that number was $11.5 million guaranteed. You know, these are players that other teams will be interested as well. So I guess it's the first weekday we've talked since the Niners hired Nick Sorensen. I did a Saturday morning deal. And, you know, I still feel good about that. So I don't, I did a little IG poll, I think it was. And most people were optimistic, were feeling good. And I am too. I mean, I think it's fine for them. All right. So there's some of the news, some of the buzz. And let's get to some of your comments now. Let me make a note and then dive into Kid Icarus. How are those down sheets treating you? I mean, it was awful. Hotel room down. Michael, yes, Purdy rushed the healing process. You could just see in his soft throws. You know, I saw all the throws he made in training camp. I didn't feel like a guy rushed. Now, remember, they had those. It felt like, you know, they said these off days were planned, but now we're being safe with them because maybe there's a little arm soreness. I had a former NFL quarterback, tell me during the year they thought that his arm would be stronger this year, 2024, than it was in 2023. But, you know, that's a pretty different surgery. He didn't get the Tommy John. And so there's not a lot of history on how guys recover from it, but he's definitely going in the lookbook when they present that surgery to people that this guy did excellent with it. TC says, I'm all in on Zach for sure. I mean, he's super talented. But when he made one play last year against, was it the Raiders? That rolling left throw all the way to the end zone. But it doesn't feel like the time to me. Pete says Niners have a lot of needs, but if Penix is available in the first round, he'd be hard to pass on. I don't think he'd be hard to pass on for the Niners because starting quarterback is not one of their needs. And you're drafting Michael Penix to be one of your starting quarterbacks. It's not anywhere near. It's at the bottom of their needs list. But that said, Pete, I'm glad you brought up Michael Penix. People who've been watching or listening for a while know that I am a pro Michael Penix. I'm a Michael Penix guy. I don't really even love, although the comp you hear a lot for him from people I know, I've heard this a few times around college football this year, was a taller Tua Tagovailoa, partly because he's left-handed. He had a really good combine. He just throws the ball really well. I saw somebody wrote that he was, for the receivers, one of his favorite guys. Receivers said he threw the most catchable ball or one of the best balls to catch, as Bo Nix like did not. But yeah, he's a real deal quarterback. Michael Penix, the concerns with him, history of injuries, although he's been healthy this year, but when he got into games, he got beat up. He got like cracked several times in big games, had for the most part, good protection, had elite receivers. It wasn't just Roma Dunze. It was Jalen McMillan and Jalen Polk had, you know, so he had a lot of time to throw mostly his arm. His motion, people don't love his motion in the NFL. Like they think that he doesn't use his lower body properly and step and that he's all upper body. But I don't know. I just see a guy that makes plays. Now, he's not a top 15 pick. One of the things somebody wrote today, maybe it was Graziano, maybe it was a CBS Sports article, they're like, people are going to be surprised with how high J.J. McCarthy gets drafted. Like, as an example, feels like the NFL's higher on J.J. McCarthy than the media, the fans. Troy Franklin is a guy that I heard that like the media and fans are higher on than the NFL. So when Troy Franklin falls after a poor combine, he's not falling on NFL boards. He's falling on media mock drafts and like fan conversations. But that, you know, for the NFL, one question I would say this for anybody that's going to go watch some Troy Franklin tape, try to find tape of him against man coverage. Cause a lot of the highlight videos of Troy Franklin on YouTube are him just running wide ass open against zones. And like, you know, some of his highlights, I'm not knocking Troy, but some of his best highlights are like, you know, he had this big play against SC. I had one defensive coach in the league tell me this year, that they don't like, they'll watch other defenses for tape, like to study, like, what are they doing? Oh, maybe we can take something from them. Maybe we can take something from them that they didn't watch SC because they couldn't figure out what SC was doing on defense this year. So, you know, I go back. If you were a Troy Franklin guy, go back and watch some of that stuff with a critical eye, a more critical eye, maybe watch it a second time. And, you know, I think try to imagine, can that happen in the NFL? He's still going. This is why I say, like, this is going to be a bonanza in the second round and the third round, because there's so many of these receivers that you're going to have mocked kind of in some mocks end of the first round, and all of a sudden they're going to be in the second round. So, you know, Penix as a Niner is not a real conversation, but Penix is a really interesting prospect on a good team is a really interesting conversation. Like, Penix is one of, is, I hadn't really thought of this, but just off the top of my head, if you said top five most interesting draft stories, Penix is in that conversation. All these offensive linemen delivered, right? This projection, there's going to be seven tackles maybe going in the top 20. After the combine, they're trending. Watching the offensive linemen yesterday, these guys just, it's crazy how well they move. And not all of them worked out. They still have some, you know, pro days and that type of thing. So, that thing, it feels like it's trending. After the combine, if you trended the pre-combine hype on how many quarterbacks and how many offensive tackles would get drafted in the first round, feels like it's still trending that way, right? With the potential of having basically like 12 quarterbacks, maybe 13 quarterbacks and offensive tackles go. So, you know, well over a third or over a third of your first round could be quarterbacks and offensive tackles. Not counting guaranteed three receivers, but which means if we're guaranteed three receivers, we're probably getting five, you know? So all that stuff is still trending. I like Penix a ton, says Spencer. I think he's undervalued. Like Purdy better though, better to draft capital. And yeah, I mean, I'm happy to have conversations. People, I love when people are like, you know, I've seen these comments sometimes, like, that's a stupid conversation. Why don't we just wait? Not the Penix for the Niners one is like beyond a real conversation, but like, that's a stupid conversation. Why don't we just wait and find out? Like, you know what? Yeah, cool. Let me shut down the YouTube channel and the pod, and we're just not going to do anything until we know what happened. That's how people on bar stools talk, right? Like, I don't know, Jim. We don't have all the information yet. I'd rather not speculate on this very important topic on whether or not the 49ers are going to extend Brandon Ayuk, trade him, or make him play on his fifth-year option. So why don't we all just take a breath, sit here in silence, and drink our Coors Lights? Like once a month, somebody makes that comment. I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you doing? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Yeah, you're right. We should just talk about more important things. I never understand that perspective. Comment from Calvin. The COVID year draft was a big asterisk. Even Lawrence is on a downward trajectory. Yeah, I mean, if you talk to like college coaches, like college basketball coaches, one of the big things, you know, the portal opens up. You can't, that COVID year, you couldn't evaluate. You couldn't get players on campus. You couldn't talk to them. So you're just like kind of blindly grabbing guys. And there are a lot of coaches with hindsight that say, God, we had so many bad personality fits. Now, Trey Lance was not a bad personality fit. Trevor Lawrence is, you know, he's going to be their quarterback for a while. But yeah, I mean, that's that draft, especially from the quarterback position, is looking, well, we already knew it was. Trevor Lawrence is interesting. I didn't mean to keep my face up here on the screen all this time. Trevor Lawrence is going to be another interesting story this year. Michael says Washington was better than SC, but Caleb is more in demand. Niners don't want Penix. Yeah. Caleb. I mean, Caleb has an athleticism and a physicality to him, even though he's not. I don't know if it was clear watching him on NFL Network, but as someone who's stood by multiple, he's not a massive, massive, you know, he's not 6'3", 6'4", but he is a force when it comes to playing the position. Now, you know, the one thing that I think you're going to hear a lot for the next month plus is just, can he play on time? Was it the offense? Was it him? Why were they always just trying to make superhuman plays? And why wasn't it on time? But I don't think there's any debate about who you draft first this year. Michael says, is Staley going to take Shanahan's job? Yes. Yeah, he's going to take Shanahan's job of being the auditor of defensive coach meetings. AJ says, am I a homer for wanting Brendan Rice? LOL. He looks sick. No, you are not a homer for wanting Brendan Rice. My take on Brendan Rice is that if his name was anything different, he would still be every bit the prospect that he is. The fact that Jerry Rice is his father, I don't think has inflated his stock at all. I think if anything, in a weird way, over the course of his career, it's not affecting its draft stock, but I think people were a little bit slower to identify Brendan Rice, especially early at Colorado. Like when he was at Colorado, and I remember doing Colorado games then, there was very minimal, oh, this is Jerry Rice's kid type buzz. There was none of that. I mean, you would say every game, you know, it was to the point I remember, like, we would do a broadcast. I remember doing a game his first year at Colorado that he played and saying, this is Jerry Rice's son. And what that represents to me is, like, you had to tell people, this is Jerry Rice's son. It was, everybody did not know that Jerry Rice's son was playing for Colorado and his name was Brendan Rice. It was just not, he was not a major, major, top tier prospect. Colorado was not great. There was just not a lot of that buzz. By the time he got to SC, I think a lot of people knew, but even then, I think your casual college football fan, your casual college football fan would be like, that's Jerry Rice's kid. So I don't think the fact that he's Jerry Rice's kid has inflated his stock at all, either with the NFL, with the media, with the public, with Niners fans specifically, maybe with Niners fans a little. But I see a guy who almost has had to go above and beyond to prove that he's not an inflated prospect. Part of it, too, is if he were, you know, he's not the top tier prospect in this draft. He's not even like the tier two-ish guy. And, you know, I don't like Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't really think has been inflated, but his name is Marvin Harrison Jr. There is a Jerry Rice Jr., but that's his brother. This is Brendan Rice. And if you like Brendan Rice, if you think Brendan Rice can play, to me, that's a legitimate, that's just legit. He's a good player. If they drafted him, I think the excitement would be more about the fact that he got drafted and that you took a good prospect than that you took Jerry Rice's kid. And I don't want to beat a dead horse because I've said this many times, but I think he's also the kind of guy that will be unaffected by, if he were to be a 49er, by all the extra stuff that comes with it. And it would be a lot extra. I mean, you know, Jerry's around. Jerry was at the combine wearing a 7-Eleven chain, always open. So Sam says, if we go tackle at 32, it should be a good one. Yeah. But the question is, if you go tackle at 32, are you reaching into the second round for a tackle? Or did somebody fall because, did I say 32? 31. Unless you turn it off at a certain point. Like, oh, got the 32nd pick. Marcus says, Aziz wants to come back to the Niners. Definitely feels that way based on some of his social media activity. Cisco Kid, this is related to Chase Young. If he signs a one-year deal here, he should have better stats. Help him get paid top dollar in the future. Rather than signing a one-year deal with a weak line and then not getting what he's looking for the following year. I do think Chase Young should be incentivized if it's going to be, it's a good point. If it's going to be a one-year deal somewhere, I think he's should be incentivized to take that one-year deal here. I agree with that. Body more similar to T.O. than Jerry as well. Didn't realize he was so yoked. I mean, T.O.'s bigger, but he doesn't look, that's part of it. He does not look like, physically, he doesn't look like Jerry. I was unfazed by his, I I don't need to know a single thing about how he timed. I think he's just a player. Matthew says the combined weight of our first four picks better be more than 1,100 pounds or the draft is a bust. All right, let's hold on. Let's do some math. 1,100 divided by four is 275. So you want to say 1,100, we're going to go minus, what, 325? That's 775 pounds. I'll go 325 again. That's 450. Okay. So we got, you want two offensive linemen. And 450 divided by two is 225. A tight end. You want a big tight end? You want the kid out of Texas? All right. Like two, is he like 245? Jatavion Sanders, 243. Okay. So I was close. Yeah. And then you can take a receiver. Michael says, actually, Rice 2.0 was more like Ruggs, just not as much speed. No, that's a bad, that's not a good comp. I mean, Ruggs was speed. So not as much speed was just not Ruggs, you know? And he's bigger. He's a different player. First Ruggs comp of the 2024 pre-draft work, though. T.O. was 6'3", 220. Brendan, 6'3", 215. What were their arm lengths? Terrell had really long arms. So I'm not going to Google that now, but that would be my guess. Maybe I'm right. If you tell me they got the same length arms, too, now let's have a conversation. Their physicality, T.O. played about as angry, but tell me about their arms. Tell me about their arms. Then we can get back to that. Comment from Niner Niner Bang, will BA take less than $23 million a year? You know, he doesn't have to, because if you're him, you can make 14 this year, be a free agent next year. You got a pretty good idea that the Niners won't tag you. And then we'll be a year into a cycle where some of these guys are making, you know, if the Amon-Ra St. Brown number is 26, 27, I don't think there's much incentive for Ayuk to take 21 or 22. I, you know, take 20, let's say less than, let's say 22. Take 22 and Amon-Ra St. Brown signs for 27. And you know, you had 14 coming this year. And if you waited till next year, you're going to be asking for 28, 29. You know, I know when we do these, like we really project the biggest numbers. We project huge numbers on these guys, but I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised if Amon-Ra signs for 26 and Ayuk signs at extension, 21 million. Doesn't feel like it's trending towards him doing that because he's a premium. He, you know, if he had free, he would be in a league with premium receivers, even if he's not a tier one guy, which he's not. Tier one being like the true, true Tyreek Hill, right? But he's also not a tier three. He's like on his own. We've talked about this. He's kind of like on his own little tier. You know, he would have so many options. All right, here we go. Thanks to the research department. Brendan Rice, 32 and 5/8 arms. T.O., 34.5. That's not insignificant, a difference there, okay? That's a significant difference. Both 6'3", 209, draft weight. Oh, Brendan's draft weight, 209. T.O.'s 213. Okay. I wouldn't put T.O. on him, but we're talking. We're talking. I just don't think there's any reason for... I think he's a good player. It doesn't have to be T.O., you know. If you knew it'd be T.O., he'd go in the first round, but he's not gonna. So, Zeus Gucci says, what round do you see Brendan Rice going? I see him at the beginning, maybe the end of the, maybe the very end of the second round, early third. If I had to guess right now, I'd say early third round. But you never know with the receiver inflation. These receivers start popping off, and they start popping off, and you never know what's going to happen. What number would Brendan wear if he were a 49er? Is two available? Two? Who's wearing two? Anybody wearing two? Yeah, but Illinois is wearing two. Can't wear two. It's not college. Yeah, I know what number you wouldn't wear. '79 Yep, you'd wear 79. One better than 80. Not a, boy, you can really block, but not that well. All right. That's all for this Monday morning. Thanks for jumping in today, everybody. Appreciate the likes, the reviews, the comments. Somebody asked, how many times can you do an Apple podcast comment? I think you can. I don't know the answer to that. It might be that you can just update a comment. I saw somebody recently do that because I checked the reviews. Sorry, not comments. The reviews. I think you can update a review. So if you want to do that, feel free. Appreciate that very much. And we'll have more to talk about this week. So thanks for popping in, y'all. Talk to you later. Bye.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.